Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I need to lose weight. Diet. Deprivation. Misery. Ugh.
What if you could lose weight without feeling awful? R3 Weight Loss by Susan Torberg is the real food plan you've been dreaming about. No calorie counting or journaling. A doable plan for real life. With R3 Weight Loss, you'll break those sugar and carb cravings but still be able to eat things you love, teaching you discipline and managing your weight for life. Visit r3weightlossplan.com. $39 will change your life.
Well, as the days get darker and darker and the nights get longer and longer, we more and more recognize our need for light. In fact, light is life. We need light in every aspect of our living. We need light to work and for our recreation. We need light to meet most all of our basic needs. We need light for warmth and heat. We need light for our physical health. We need light for our emotional health. The lack of light can lead to depression. On the other hand, its presence can bring hope, even joy. Light affects us emotionally in that it makes us feel safer. The dark can feel unsafe. Late at night, in the dark of night, when we're trying to get to sleep and can't get to sleep, problems can seem larger than life. Those very problems in the daylight can all but disappear. We need light for our physical and emotional health. We also need light for our minds. When we're not sure what we're doing or what we should be doing, we say, we're in the dark. As I noted last week, I like to say that lighting is architecture. It is the lighting of a space, not the space itself, that ultimately determines how we view a space, how we use a space, even what we think of a space. When you're in a room that is properly illuminated, you can move with confidence and ease. You know where you're going. You can even move quickly and efficiently. When we're in the dark, we move with less confidence because we're unsure of our steps and what might be ahead. When you're operating in the dark, life is no fun, but even worse is living in the dark. It is no fun living in the dark about your future career or your family or your finances. We want light to show us the way forward. In fact, we all come into the world in the dark with minds quite dark, not knowing anything really, not knowing how to grow, not knowing how to succeed, not knowing how to talk, not even knowing how to survive. Our minds need to be enlightened. Light is essential for our physical and emotional health. It's essential for our minds. But perhaps most of all, it's essential for the health of our hearts. That's why we need the light of faith. Without it, pride and anger, selfishness and greed can creep into our hearts and come to dwell there, even dominate our hearts. Last week we noted that specifically allowing the light of Christ's truth and Christ's peace into our hearts can powerfully move our hearts. And we talked about simple ways in which we can do that. Christ is light for our lives. But even more than that, our lives are to be light for others so that they can move in God's direction. And that's what we're talking about today. It's called influence. Light can be influential. Influence is the power. Influence is the power to affect how someone else develops, acts, thinks, or feels. Influence moves people in one direction or another. And so today we're briefly looking at the story of one of the most influential people of all time, one of the most important influencers ever. Scripture introduces us to him. We read there came a man who was sent by God. His name was John. He came to testify to the light. All four Gospels tell us about John the Baptist. Two of the four Gospels begin with the story of John. Such is his importance in the Gospel story. In another place, in fact, Jesus himself says of John that he was the greatest man who ever lived. John is also called the last prophet because he was the last one to preach before the arrival of Jesus. He was a cousin of Jesus, son of Elizabeth and Zechariah, but his kinship wasn't his main claim to fame. His mission was. Matthew tells us about that mission. John the Baptist appeared preaching in the desert of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So the first thing we learn about John is the unique setting in which he began to preach. God placed him in the desert wilderness, and there were not a lot of people in this desert wilderness. In fact, there were no permanent resident population of any kind. But John begins his preaching there. Why? Well, there was powerful symbolism to his preaching there. In part, it shows that the preaching among the elites and scholars in the temple in Jerusalem, the preaching of the religious establishment of the day, had become ineffective. It was no longer serving God's purposes. So God had to send someone else, someone outside of the established system, to properly prepare the way for his son. By going into the wilderness, John is rejecting the establishment and the status quo. But it wasn't just the distance from Jerusalem. It was the wilderness itself, the wildness of it, that was symbolic too, standing as a sign of John's radical, uncompromising service to God. And no one at the time would have failed to recognize the historic significance of John's desert setting. Over and over again throughout Scripture, the wilderness is the place that God accomplishes the greatest work in his people, in the people that he intends to use. Abraham, Moses, David, and many others all had desert experiences, preparing them for the great work, the great impact that they would eventually have. Over and over again, God takes people away from the larger society before he uses them to impact that same society. Even more than the place was his message. In the desert, John the Baptist had a very specific, a very pointed message. He preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, that word that's so often been misunderstood and certainly overused. It sounds intolerant and judgmental and everything that critics of the church think the church is. But repentance is about change. It's a change of mind that leads to a change of heart, that leads to a change in direction. John challenges people to change their direction, to turn to the Lord because he is near and he is about to do something very different. It was said of him, John, that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." Long before John, the prophet Isaiah had foretold the Messiah's arrival would be announced in just this way, would be accompanied by just these specific details. And John, at some point in his life, must have come to an understanding of his role. One can imagine him coming across the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the desert, and recognizing himself and his appointed role in that prophecy. Matthew continues. He tells us that John wore clothing made of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. Not only where he lived, but how he lived communicated his message. And his message, I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming, the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Crowds of people came to the middle of nowhere to hear John preach. He was incredibly popular. He was one of the most celebrated, the most well-known people of his generation. But he used his popularity not for himself, not for self-enrichment, but to point to the one who is coming, to point to the Lord. Where John lived, how he lived, what he had to say, all worked together to point to the Lord, to point to the light of Christ. But you know what? Same is true for you. Same is true for you. It begins with where God has placed you. Wherever you are right now, it's not a mistake, it's not an accident. God has not placed you there by accident. Might not be your final destination, but you're there right now on purpose. God has placed you where you are to be his light and to influence his people in his direction. You may be serving in a job you don't like. You may be at a college you didn't even plan to attend. You may live in a neighborhood that was not your first choice. But you are not where you are by accident. God has placed you there on purpose to be a light. So it's very important. It's critically important for you to see where he has placed you as your current opportunity. You know, when I was first assigned to this parish, to Nativity, I did not want to be here. I tried to resist it. I had other plans in mind, and the cardinal knew it. At my installation, he emphasized that I would be here for, quote, a long, long, long time. He thought that was funny. I didn't. And for a while, I made it my goal to look for other opportunities until I changed my mind, I changed my heart, I changed my direction, I changed my life, when I came to understand that this is the opportunity of my life. And same for you. You're not principally in your workplace or your school or your mom's group or your small group to advance your own agenda. It's perfectly fine to advance your own agenda, but that's not all you're about. Could be part of the deal, but it's not the whole deal. The whole deal includes showing people, pointing people, perhaps wordlessly convincing people that Christ is the light of the world. Like John, your life, the way you live, says something, maybe quite a lot, at least it should, about what you believe. And just as John had a unique message and manner and platform, so do you. Besides, like John, you have a certain influence. It's true, you do. You might not think about that a lot or very often, but it's true. You do. Some people, certain people, look up to you and value your opinion. It may be because of your position or your background or your experience or your wisdom. It may be because of your personality or humor or accessibility. It may just be your age. You know, middle school and high school students out there, little kids look up to you because you're older. They just do. You have influence with them. Whatever influence you have, God has given you to point some in the way of the Lord. And your life can take on a whole greater meaning and value when you recognize that influence. And it will impact and influence your relationship with Christ too. So the question is, how to do it? How do we point others to Christ? First of all, we have to recognize it as a priority. And that means when we enter into environments that are part of our daily life, we look to see how we can be light. I like to talk about it as adding value. Look at how you add value to the people around you. When you go to work or school or spend time with friends, look for ways to add value. Maybe for just the next 2 weeks leading up to Christmas, why not be more deliberate about adding value to the people that are placed in your life? There's such simple things we can do to influence one another. Smile. Smile. I know that sounds ridiculously simple, and it is. When you smile at someone, what happens? Probably they smile back. And then you've influenced them. You've changed their direction, at least for that moment. Or how about calling people by name and noticing what they're doing? The sweetest sound to anyone is the sound of their own name. Recognition and encouragement are a close second. Or how about small acts of service, random acts of kindness, opening a door for someone, helping someone with their packages, offering support for a project, picking up someone's check, tipping extra generously. And one thing we can all do in the next 2 weeks is make an invitation to Christmas Eve at the Maryland State Fair. You can use our brand new Nativity app to make an invitation. You can use our website to make an invitation. We also have old-fashioned paper postcards that you can use to make an invitation. They're available at the kiosks on the concourse or from our host ministers after Mass. No one is ever insulted to be invited. And many people are very much alone and lonely at this time of year and would love to join us if they just knew they were welcome. The world can be a very dark place, and darkness can fill our minds and hearts. It can be overwhelming. God's invitation to us this holiday season is to step out of the darkness and walk in His light. There is no life without light. There is no light without God.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.